All right, welcome to part two of my religious vocabulary lesson. Remember, part one sort of went a bit long, so I decided to cut it off and make part two. So, welcome here. Today we're going to learn a bit more about religious vocabulary. Now, what's the opposite of religious? Do you know? What's the opposite word? Just got to drink some water before getting started. That's better. Okay, so what's the opposite of religious? Well, I'll tell you. It is secular. Secular. Did you know that? If you didn't know that word, smash like on this video. Okay, so when we talk about like secular society or secular music, you know, we're talking about not religious society or not religious music. Okay, now I could say, you know, Canada is a very secular place. Right? Canadian society is very secular, okay? That just means it's not very religious. I need more water. I just went outside making a video. That's why I'm tired. Now I came back and I'm trying to make another video. So if you compare Canada to, you know, some other countries like in the Middle East, for example, you know, some of those countries are really religious, right? Like religion is life. You know, even a lot of the country's laws are based on Islamic scriptures, right? Do you know what scripture means? Okay, here's another word, scripture. That just means religious writings, okay? So, you know, all kinds of different religious writings. Like, for example, the Bible is Christian scripture, right? The Quran is Muslim scripture, and the Vedas, that's Hindu scripture, right? So scripture could mean like one book, or it could be like a whole collection of books. Okay, so sometimes you know, this word has an S, like scripture or scriptures. You know, sometimes people call the Bible like the scriptures, or sometimes just the scripture. So it's your choice if you want to take off the S or if you want to put the S on. Okay, so here's another important word, and that is faith. Okay, now faith can have two meanings. Okay, we can use it to talk about a religion. Okay, you know, for example, I belong to the Buddhist faith. That means you belong to the Buddhist religion, okay? But we can also use it this way, trust, okay? You could say, I have faith in Jesus, okay? That just means you trust Jesus. You have, you know, you have a strong belief in Jesus, right? So that's faith. That's a very important word. Now, here's another important word, denomination, okay? You've probably, well, actually, it's not that important, okay? But you've probably heard of it before. Denomination. If you sort of learn more about a religion, you know, you're going to see this word, because religions typically have a lot of different denominations, and so it just means a branch of a religion. I need more water. Ah, that's a bit better. Okay, so a branch of a religion. Okay, now you can use this word too. You can say, you know, a branch of a religion, or you could say this, like a sect. That's sort of like a similar word. You know, if a religion has like a sect, that sort of means a part, or, you know, all these words sort of have similar meanings. Okay, now you probably know Christianity has three main branches. Okay, so there's like Catholic, Protestant, and Eastern Orthodox, okay? So those are the three main branches. Now, remember in my last video, I taught you guys the word Orthodox. It just means standard, right? But when you see it with a capital O like this, then it's talking about a branch of Christianity, okay? I mean, so very often we use the word Orthodox as like a normal word in English, you know, especially in the negative. You hear that loud car outside? I should have closed my window. Man, first I'm thirsty, now there's loud stuff outside. I gotta focus and finish this lesson, okay? So, yeah, so very often in English, you know, we use the word unorthodox. You know, if something is not normal, you know, you could say it's unorthodox. Is that car again ruining my video? Okay, so if something is unorthodox, you know, it just means it's not typical. It's like, you know, if you cook something in sort of a strange way, you know, you could say you have like unorthodox cooking methods. You know, like if normal people cook spaghetti one way, but you cook spaghetti a different way, you know, then you cook it in an unorthodox way. Okay, so you know that's a normal word, but when you see it with a capital O like this, then it's talking about a branch of Christianity, okay? Eastern Orthodox. You know, if you go to Greece, you're gonna see a lot of Greek Orthodox churches. Or if you go to Russia, you're gonna see a lot of Russian Orthodox churches. Okay. So Eastern Orthodox is mainly in Eastern Europe, and then Catholic, that's more like in Central Europe. If you go to Italy or Poland or you know places like that, you're gonna find a lot of Catholics. And Protestant, I need more water. Sorry about that. My throat is a bit dry. I need to wet my whistle. Do you know what that means? Wet my whistle? That just means I need to drink a bit of water to moisten my throat. Okay, so in North America, Protestantism is the biggest, I think. I haven't looked at the statistics, but I'm pretty sure here in Canada and the US, you know, you'll find a lot of Protestant churches. Okay, so a lot of, I think most of the Christians in North America would consider themselves to be Protestants. But don't quote me on that because I haven't checked. Okay, so those are the three main branches. Now, if we zoom in a bit on Protestantism, okay, then we can use this word denominations. It's better to use it here. If you're talking about Christianity overall, the three main branches, you know, then it's better to use branches. But if we zoom in on Protestantism, right, then, I mean, there are a lot of denominations, right? Like Baptist, Pentecostal, Lutheran, you know, a lot of them, not just three, many, many denominations, okay? So that's what a denomination is, okay? A denomination is just like sort of a part of Christianity. I think you can use this word for other religions too. You know, you could probably say, you know, different denominations in Islam. You know, Islam has two main branches, right? Sunni and Shia, but it has other groups too, like Ismaili Muslims and a whole bunch of other ones too. So sort of the same, you know, just different groups. So we can use the word denomination or branch or sect. Okay, remember those are words are sort of the same. Okay, now what about ritual? A ritual and a ceremony. Okay, you've probably heard these words. It just means an action that carries some kind of religious significance. You know, you see religious rituals and ceremonies, you know, all over the world, right? Did you hear that honk? Man, these cars. Usually I make my videos at night after everything is a bit quiet, but right now I just thought I wanted to make a video in the day. I don't know why. It was a bad decision, but I know you'll forgive me for my bad decision. Thank you very much. Okay, so, you know, an action, something you do, right, that carries some religious significance. You know, for example, foot washing. You know, some Christian denominations do like a foot washing ceremony where they wash each other's feet, right? So, you wash someone's feet, someone washes your feet, right? Look at this painting here. Okay, here's a picture of somebody washing somebody's feet. Actually, that is Jesus washing Peter's feet. You know, you can read about that story in the Bible. You know, the night before Jesus was killed, actually he washed his disciples' feet. Now, here's a word that is similar to ritual, and that is sacrament. Okay, so a sacrament, it's just something Christians do that has some kind of religious significance. Okay, it's something they do. Remember with the word ritual, okay, a ritual or a ceremony, sort of like an action, right? It's something you do. So that's the same with sacrament. Okay, sacrament is some kind of physical thing that carries like some kind of a mysterious, some kind of a spiritual meaning, okay? An example of that is the Lord's Supper. Have you heard of the Lord's Supper? Okay, if you go into a church, you might see people eating bread and drinking wine. Okay, that's then they're partaking in the Lord's Supper. Okay, remember the night before Jesus was killed, he was eating a meal with his disciples. And you know, in the meal, he broke the bread and said, "This is my body." Okay, so the bread is a representation of his body. Okay, and then also he took the cup of wine and said, "This is my blood." Okay, so these are like sort of sacred symbols in Christianity, and Jesus told them to do this so that you remember, my body that was broken for you and my blood that was shed, for the sins of many, right? You can find these stories in the Bible. Now, the Lord's Supper can also be called communion or the Eucharist. Okay, so this can have different names, but it's the same thing. It's eating bread and drinking wine. Need more water. Sorry about that. Needed to wet my whistle again. Now you're not going to forget that idiom, wet my whistle. So here's another word, and the word is clergy. Okay, clergy. That just means people who have religious jobs. Okay, so if you go to a church and you see a priest, the priest's job is just, to do stuff in the church, right? Priests, most people who have religious jobs like this, they don't have other jobs, right? That's what their job is. Their job is sort of in the church, in Christianity. Now, I'm not sure if this word can be used in other religions too. I can't remember hearing this word ever used in, to talk about leaders in other religions. But in Christianity, you'll hear this word, you'll hear clergy, for example, he's a member of the clergy. Okay, so the clergy sort of means like the leadership in a church. Okay, so very often we use the word member. A priest is a member of the clergy. Okay. Oh, now here's an important word in Christianity, and that's the word Trinity. Okay, Trinity. So Christians believe in one God, Father, Son, and Spirit, right? And sometimes you might hear Christians use the word persons, okay? One God, three persons. Okay, or you might hear this term here, the Godhead. Okay, so if you hear the Godhead, that's referring to this, right? It's sort of a mystery, right? One God and Father, Son, and Spirit. I hear a baby wailing outside. Can you hear it? It's wailing. Do you know what wailing means? Wailing means crying. Okay, if a baby is wailing, it means the baby is crying. Man, I picked the worst possible day to make this. Means I need more water. Forgive me for picking such a bad day to make this video. Okay, so that's what the Trinity is. A Trinity means one God, three persons. Now, the word Trinity isn't actually in the Bible, okay, but Christians use this word to describe this, right? This is in the Bible. If you read the Bible, you will see this, right? It's pretty clear that you'll see this, unless you read the Bible with blinders on. In some countries, they put blinders on horses and donkeys, so the donkeys and the horses can't see everything. Those are called blinders, right? So if you read a book with blinders on, it just you're probably gonna miss, the big picture. So that's what this is. This is a Christian term, Trinity. Now, in Islam, they have a word that sort of looks a little bit similar, and that is Tawheed. Okay, Tawheed. Now, this is the doctrine of the oneness of Allah, right? So Christians have the doctrine of the Trinity, and Muslims have the doctrine of Tawheed. Okay, remember the word doctrine from the last lesson? Doctrine just sort of means like a set of beliefs, right? It's sort of similar to the word theology, right? Who is God? Is God just like one and three, or sort of three and one? It's a bit confusing, right? God in every religion is a bit mysterious. It's hard, right? I mean, even in Islam, some Muslims say that, that God has like attributes, like hands and a face. And then other Muslims say, no. That's not true. Allah is a spirit, right? It doesn't have any physical sort of form or physical feature. I don't know. This stuff is a bit confusing, right? It's a mystery, right? When we're talking about something we can't see, it's a bit mysterious. Okay, now one thing I want to mention is that the English language has had a closer relationship to Christianity than it has to Islam or Hinduism. Okay, so you're wondering why am I talking about this? Right? Does this look like an English word to you? To me, it doesn't look like an English word. Okay. Now, the reason it doesn't look like an English word is because of this, right? It's because of this distance here. You know, Hinduism and Islam, right? They haven't had the same kind of exposure as Christianity has to English. Okay, so, you know, that's why a lot of these words, remember in, was it my first lesson? I taught you some words about like hell and heaven and stuff like that. Okay, those words seem more English to me than the word tawhid. Now here's another important word in Islam, okay? And that is the word shahada. Okay, have you heard this word before? Okay, maybe you've never heard this word before, but it's a very important word in Islam. Okay, but again, I don't really view it as an English word, but that could change. Okay, so these words in other religions that are not English, they could become English words with more exposure. Remember, I taught you guys the word yoga, right? Yoga. That's not an English word, but it sort of became an English word, right? So, you know, with these words like shahada or these like you probably know like Hajj or Ramadan or different word. What are some other words in different religions? I don't know. Yoga is a good example, right? Because yoga is just so widespread. But any word could become an English word if it just has a bit more exposure. You know, so a word like this, now this is obviously a very important word. This means this is how a person becomes a Muslim. Okay? You recite the Shahada. Okay, so you recite this phrase here, you know, if you want to become a Muslim. The phrase goes like this: Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulallah. Okay, so that's the phrase you recite if you want to become a Muslim. So it's a very important word in Islam, right? But like I said, when I view this word, I don't really see it as an English word. But I just wanted to talk about this because words like this can become English words, right? It just has to do with how much exposure English has to different religions. And now here's an important word in Christianity, okay? And that's the word gospel. Gospel, okay? Now this word comes from the Greek word euangelion, which means good news. Good news. Okay, so you might have met a Christian at some point in your life who asked you this: Have you heard the gospel? Have you heard the gospel? And you just sat there scratching your head. What? Gospel? What does that mean? What are you talking about? What kind of crazy stuff are you talking about? Okay, that just means they're talking about like the message of salvation. Now, I know I haven't taught you guys this word yet, but I promise I'm going to teach it to you. Okay, so when you hear the word gospel, okay, it's just basically the teachings of Jesus or the good news about Jesus. Okay, now sometimes you might hear people say this, the Gospels with an S. Okay, so that refers to the four books in the Bible that are about Jesus. Okay, so if you buy a Bible, if you read a Bible, okay, you'll see four books. Okay, these books here, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they are like the story of Jesus. There are four different people wrote these. Okay, so these are four different guys, and they wrote, you know, about the life of Jesus sort of from a different perspective. Okay, so a lot of the stuff in these books is the same, you know, the same stories over and over again, but you know, a lot of the stuff is different too. Okay, so Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Sometimes people put Saint in front, okay? Saint Matthew, Saint Mark. Hey, that's me, Saint Mark. Wow, I'm in the Bible. I'm one of the people in the Bible. Did you know that? Smash like if you're happy to find me in the Bible. Okay, so that's those are called the Gospels. You know, they're just about like the life of Jesus. What did Jesus do? You know, what did Jesus say? What did Jesus teach? You know, what kind of events, you know, happened in his life. You know, it's sort of interesting that people don't know more about Jesus because Jesus was by far the most popular person in the history of the world, right? I mean, I can't think of anybody else who's even come close to Jesus in popularity. And yet, a lot of people don't know, you know, a lot about Jesus. So, hey, if you want to know more about Jesus, you can just download the Bible app. I'm just checking on my phone. Actually, I have two apps. One is called just called Bible, and the other is called Bible Gateway. Okay, so you can just download a bunch of apps, just search on the App Store or Google Play Store, whatever it's called, You'll find some apps about the Bible. And look at all these languages. Okay, so I'm sure you'll find one in your, I'm sure you can find your language on the list here. Arabic, Greek, whatever, Turkish. What other ones are there here? Sumi. I don't know what Sumi is. Somali, Intutut, Labrador. Wow, okay, so you can get a lot of different languages. And see here, see these like sound symbols? That means that they have like an audio format. So you can just listen to the Bible while you're washing dishes. Actually, I do that sometimes. I just pull out the app on my phone and I just I listen to the Bible while I wash dishes. Now, maybe a better option or maybe a funner option would be to watch a series. Now, there's a new series called The Chosen. Have you heard of it? Probably not, because it's new. Okay, it was released very recently. Okay, and it is a series about the life of Jesus. It's awesome. I really loved it. But right now they just have season one. So I think they're making season two. I think maybe this year, later this year, they're going to come out with season two. So I can't wait for that. I really enjoyed it. Actually, I even cried. I think a few times in that series, but it's very well made. It's very good and it's free. You can just watch it. You can just download. It's an app. Okay. You download the app, just search on the App Store or Google Play for The Chosen and you just download it on your phone and then your iPad I think you could probably get it for your computer too. And then you can just watch it for free. I think you can donate, but you don't need to donate. You can just watch it for free. But anyway, so guys, I decided to cut this off and make part three. Okay, so in the next part, we're going to learn words like reincarnation, atonement, cult, and salvation. Remember, I promised to teach you salvation, but I just don't want these videos to get super, super long. So thank you for bearing with me. We're almost done this religious vocabulary mini-series. I guess it's a mini-series with three or four parts. But hey, I have a homework question for you. Have you ever read any scriptures? Have you ever read any? Have you ever read the Bible or the Quran or the Vedas or any other scriptures? Let me know your answer down there in the comments. Hope you guys are having a great day, and I'll see you over in the next episode of Mad English TV. Take care.